Sir Aaron Carter here with the Weekend Bang, and guess what? We're going to talk about something that I know you want to do, and that's make video games. You want to make them, I want to make them, we all want to make them. It's the sexiest business there is. But before we get into all that, you should go ahead and spread the Video Game Bang love to all your friends. We got a Twitter, at Video Game Bang, and we have a Facebook, /Video Game Bang Bang. Give us a like and a follow, so all your friends can come and enjoy the fun that you have week in and week out. Corey, Steven, and David Ng join me on this episode as we talk more about how to make a video game from scratch. You won't even need any type of experience to get into this business. The technology is at your fingertips, and there's no reason for you not to be using it. So let's dig right into it on this week's episode of The Weekend Bang.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang, your weekly source for all things video game, featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real. People get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job, he can play it right now.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
Hold on, everybody. Let's time out. Let's go to the penalty box.
Already?
Because it is the Weekend Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. I am Sir Aaron Carter. What are you reacting to? You know what I'm reacting to? I forgot my freaking phone in the car. So I went to go turn on silent, and I realized I don't have it on me.
Are you going to have anxiety throughout the whole show?
Nah.
Do you feel naked?
Not really, because I'm not one of those type of people that are like, oh, I need my phone.
Because you got the Galaxy Note 5 right there in your hand?
The tablet.
The giant phone.
This thing. Let me go around, sir, real quick. As always, with me is the cavalcade of characters. Corey Vincent's here, everybody.
Hey, what's up, pizzas?
And coming back from Salinas after his hiatus from a long, long break, David Ng, everybody.
Hello, and I was just here on Wednesday for the show.
I know, but it feels like 72 years.
From this show.
Oh, that's right. Has been a long time since I've been on the
in
weekly
Aaron's
show.
In Aaron's head, these are two different shows.
That's right.
I just entertained.
We are filmed in two different studios.
Yeah, we're
in Black Ears. You gotta remember, in Black Ears.
This is East. That's West.
East meets West.
And for his final show for the weekend?
I wouldn't say final.
For the weekend for a while?
I mean, it depends. If we do it in early shows,
then you've heard him already say two sentences. Steven Gutierrez, everybody.
What up, people? What's going on?
And yeah, I forgot my phone. And this tablet, I was going to say, has changed my entire life.
Really?
I use it so much, and I didn't think I was going to use a tablet. I was kind of just getting it because it's cool tech. But I'm writing on this thing. I'm writing on this thing. I create pictures on this thing.
What? So you're doing everything you could have done with a piece of paper and a pen?
Yeah.
That would have cost you
a fifth of that price? I'm browsing the internet.
I can't do that on paper.
You have a phone for that.
But see, my phone is an old phone, as everybody knows.
Upgrade your phone.
It's a very old phone. I'm not the most wealthy man on the planet. So,
you probably could have paid... whatever.
Exactly.
I was going to say, you could have paid the same thing and probably got a better phone.
If you haven't told your friends about us, tell them to go to NerdReactor.com.
What's wrong with you?
I know, exactly. That's
what are you doing
problem.
With your life?
Tell them to go to Twitter. We're at Twitter, at Video Game Bang. I have been monitoring not just the Video Game Bang Twitter and what they've been saying and what we've been saying, but my own Twitter, actually, as well. And some interesting things come out of it.
You going to do some self-promotion here?
No. This is all around. This is because it's the same thing from my timeline and I've seen on Video Game Bangs. We'll go do it quick because I don't really want to spend a whole 4 hours on it.
Okay.
Gamergate.
Oh, God.
We talked about this like 4 or 5 shows ago, correct?
Is that chick still banging people?
It's not even about... It's gone... It's grown beyond that. And it's... It should have been...
In the words of Frozen, let it go.
Yes. It should be. It should
don't
be
judge
done.
Me. Don't judge me.
The treatment of women in video games is deplorable.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it hasn't stopped.
Well, it kind of got re-sparked again with the one feminist lady wanting to do her conference and then people threatening to shoot the place up. And
which is dumb.
Yeah.
So stupid. Why? What is she doing to hurt you? Nothing at all. so you should do nothing to hurt her. I actually watched one of her YouTube videos on her old talking about the way women are treated and represented in video games.
Yeah.
And A, she had good points. B, I fell asleep. And C, when I woke up, it was over. So,
this is not a strong argument.
Three things that were good at that.
You would definitely get an F on that paper.
You get good rest. And you might learn something.
Anita Sarkeesian is her name.
So she wanted to have a meeting or a press conference for women's rights.
It's like a meeting on a college campus. And then some misogynist a-holes, I guess.
And let's face it, those misogynist
a-holes. So you just kind of help fuel her argument.
Pretty much.
Those misogynist, get nothing done.
Those misogynist a-holes probably wouldn't have been at the meeting anyway. They don't go to
college. They don't go outside.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of the whole thing. But she, you know, wanted to feel safe and asked them to, like, bump up security, and they said no, which was kind of weird.
Which is just stupid. Like, if somebody...
If you're actually being threatened,
yeah,
you
if you're
kind
being
of
threatened,
have to...
Yeah. Nobody's asking for the Secret Service out there, but freaking couple of guys.
Two guys on one extra door. It's
Gamergate, the whole thing, I was surprised to see that it made this big comeback. I mean, why are we still talking about this? It's crazy.
To end it right now, the Weekend Bang is ending it right now. That's right.
Officially.
We've officially said Gamergate.
You know what really pisses me off about Gamergate? Wow.
You got a story about that? Yeah. Jeez. It's over. And that's all the time I wanted to really spend on that. I was just...
Oh, and hold on. We got to plug our guy, Scott Tumulty.
Yeah, yeah. He does a great video for Geek and Sundry. Go check him out on the YouTubes. Is it just Scott Tumulty, or does he have a...
Yeah, he does the Geek and Sundry Old School Pixel Party. And he's a dude from Scotland. He's been on our show once or twice. And I think he pretty much summed up Gamergate. Or Go Awaymergate.
Yeah,
as
that's
they're starting to call it. Very good videos, and basically sums up everything I feel about it, just in a sexier accent.
If you can't tell by the tones in our voice tonight, we are recording at night
late.
Again.
This is a record, I think. I don't think we've ever recorded this late.
Really?
This is late.
I thought we did last time, because eight.
Seven. Yeah, this is like, we're talking about, we're starting this bad
boy. I thought
you
guys had like a midnight show once.
Midnight Madness show?
I don't think so.
Do we count the
all right, this year, New Year's Eve party.
New Year's Eve party?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Ringing in the new year.
Live.
What did we do that last time for, where everybody came on the show? Was that
the
Christmas party?
Christmas special?
Was it?
Yeah, okay. I don't think it went
I thought
that
it was like the 100th episode or something.
Everybody's had kind of a busy weekday or weekend day, right?
Yes.
Corey's been out doing some things. Steven's been out doing some things. Gondo, you were out downtown doing some things.
I was.
Oh, really?
I was doing some things.
Yeah, I was sitting at home alone and enjoyed it.
Sad.
Enjoyed it. We had some birthdays out there, right, Steven?
Yep. My sister's birthday was today.
Congratulations.
Happy birthday.
It's not my birthday.
Right. How old is
her birthday? 23.
Oh, okay.
Unless you're my mom, then 22.
Your mom forgot your...
She was 22. It's hilarious.
We know who the loved one are.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's get right on to this. Today's topic of episodes of weapons. I had to pull it up. That's why I was kind of just stuttering.
Are we stalling right now?
Yeah, I was stalling for that.
Just a couple more minutes for him to stall.
I'll edit all this out. Don't worry.
Yeah, you say that every time.
Exactly.
And never do it.
As you know, we have been dabbling with some of the big wigs in the video game industry. Mr. Van Leerup of the Long Black. the Long Dark. How have you been playing that game? You been going through it still?
I haven't played it in a few updates.
In a few updates?
Yeah, I've been busy with the Sleeping Dogs review, but now that that's wrapped up, I'll be back on my Long Dark.
Suffice to say, we have been rubbing elbows with some of the giants out there.
That sounds dirty. Hashtag freezing my balls off, get it trending.
Yeah, yeah, keep it going. But the games that we play ourselves, I don't really see us as too satisfied with. Is everybody still on Destiny here?
I am.
I haven't played that game in like maybe 2 weeks.
I got my first exotic chess piece today.
Oh, huh.
How's that doing for you?
You still feel empty inside?
Yeah. That's
sad. It just goes over your chest. It doesn't go in.
Yeah, that's kind of how it went. I was like, hell yeah! Oh.
So
I gotta use it to get more.
Yeah, but it seems like it's an endless cycle then.
Yeah, it's a vicious circle.
Yeah, by the way, Phantasy Star sucked too.
No.
Yes.
It wasn't the same thing as I'm getting this new piece to go get more pieces.
Game still sucked.
Terrible. So I pose this question to the group today before we get into the next part of it is what elements do you look for in different genres? Genres. That was a typo, everybody. I'm going to start with the one that you guys have been playing the most, I would say, on average. First-person shooters. Gondo, you're a big Borderlands fan.
Yeah.
Everybody else plays Destiny. It's the same game. Okay. Same game. It's the same exact thing.
No. Borderlands is better.
Borderlands is better.
Way better.
Wow.
Wow. That comes from someone who doesn't even own it, so you don't have an opinion.
I own Borderlands and Destiny.
I wasn't talking to you.
Okay. He was talking about me.
Then you got to drop names, man. The people don't know you're talking to.
So, first-person shooters. What do you look for in a first-person shooter?
Well, I want some nice, fast-paced action. And pretty visuals. I want things that explode very pretty with lots of colors.
That's it?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you need to have good mechanics. Depends on what kind of thing you're doing. Because, like, if you do a sci-fi thing, then I want some kind of, like, a gimmick kind of thing. Like, I throw the force field bubble. And, like, if you're doing the regular Call of Duty stuff, then you're kind of limited by modern-day technology.
Mm. Oh, well, with the next one, I don't think you are.
The next one won't be. Yeah, I don't think but
Kevin Spacey.
In space.
Kevin Spacey physics.
That's so bad. Steven, what are you looking for in first persons?
You know what? I like to see the environments. Like how some games, they're like you can interact with the environments. And like there'll be things moving in the background. Like, I mean, I didn't like the game, but Titanfall.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're playing Titanfall, you can see like dinosaurs and stuff like in the background of the level, some levels.
On Titanfall?
Yeah, in Titanfall. And like you'll see them. You can actually shoot a couple of them.
The robot. Giant mech.
Yeah, the giant mech robots.
Why are there dinosaurs in Titanfall?
Good question. They never explain it.
They don't explain anything. Because there's no plot
line. You exactly.
Know, I was talking to a friend today, a friend of mine.
Okay.
Who, he's not a huge gamer, but he has Titanfall on the Xbox 360. And he's like your everyman gamer. He's not like all geeked into it like we are, like when we knew there was no story. And we were playing and he came here and I was showing him like, oh, this is what it looks like on the Xbox One. And he was like, oh, yeah, wow, it looks a lot better. You know, the campaign on this is kind of boring. And I said, where's the campaign? He's like, oh, you know, the campaign? I said, you know, there's no campaign. He's like, oh, yeah, I know. But it's kind of like a campaign because it's like they're kind of telling you a story. I was like, they just throw some dialogue. It's like I had to break down to him how.
What a campaign is.
What a
campaign
is.
What an actual
campaign is. Yeah, I was like, here, let's go back to some Halo. And now I'll show you what a campaign is.
Wow, that was your example of campaign.
Of all the things.
Might as well just
you chose
gave
Halo.
Him a book. What are you looking for in first-person shooters?
Me? Myself? Yeah. Personally? In a first-person shooter?
You say warthog, I will throw my phone at you.
It's got to be balanced. It's got to be smooth. There's got to be a story, first of all. Because I don't know. I had a phase where I went through like really good multiplayer was important to me, which still balanced multiplayer is a necessity. But in a storyline, it's got to be different and varied. Too much in Destiny, I'll admit, it's just terrible. And they kind of picked this up from Halo where it's just go to this area, activate your ghost. Go to this area, activate your ghost, knock out a wave of minions, go to this place, activate your ghost. I like kind of like the Call of Duty aspect where sometimes you're running across rooftops or this time you're in a vehicle or I like the very different aspects and then the just a smooth gameplay. It's just got to be smooth games.
So nobody thinks of mergers like how Borderlands did. I'm not saying Borderlands started it, but the RPG.
Oh, you mean the RPG combined with
shooting. Nobody thinks of.
No, I mean if you're thinking about first-person shooters, and I'm just thinking first-person shooters.
Yeah, that's.
I'm not looking for my first-person shooter to be an RPG or to be like an RTS also or anything like that.
Because I mean, if they decided one day that they were the gaming developer was just like, you know what, I'm going to merge every single genre into one giant game, and then it actually comes
that
out.
That game will be chaotic
and,
terrible.
But if it
take
does,
like 20 years
it
to
does
make.
Well. Yeah, it takes a long time, but then it comes out and it does it well. Do you think people would just be like, well, I just really want a shooter. I just really want a racer. I just really want an RTS. Not
I think that by forcing your audience to at least like have to play various, like all of the different parts, you're going to limit the audience that's going to be interested in it. Because, like, there's going to be times where you don't want to do specific things. Like, oh, okay, like, I want a first-person shooter now because I want, like, some fast-paced action. I want to blow stuff up. I don't want to have, like, a strategy game where I have to think a lot. I just want to blow stuff up right now.
Yeah, I can see that because that game Brutal Legend, where it
was a good example.
Like, you thought it was an action-adventure game, and then you get it. It's action-adventure up to some certain points, and then you get into, like, the strategy aspect, and then some people got irritated and didn't want to play the game because it was either too difficult and that's not what they wanted to play in the game, or that's not their type of game they wanted to buy, the RTS.
So action games is another genre that, to me, I believe, hasn't really leaped and bounded from its originals. So we got old games like Legend of Zelda, I guess we can kind of call it action-based.
I feel like action is one of the most vague genres.
It's very vague.
Because anything that's like fast-paced is considered an action game.
Like Devil May Cry.
Action usually mixes with genres because it's like action RPG, action adventure.
Yeah. Your traditional...
Action racing.
Action racing? What is that?
Twisted Metal. Lots of action. Yeah. Lots of racing.
Hell yeah.
What are you going to say? Action pinball?
Action pinball. Marvel... puzzled.
And we're done with
damn
that.
He was on, I had something.
He was on a fucking roll.
He was trying, definitely.
The streak ends.
I'll give him that. So what do you guys look for? Because these are the two genres I'm only hitting because they don't seem like they do a lot to actually move their actual genre forward. Well, developers so far.
You mean besides graphically, obviously.
Yeah, because graphics, everybody...
Graphics is probably the easier one to upgrade, right?
Well, yeah, and that's why everybody does it. With each new console that comes out, the graphics get better. But if you think about it, if we put the graphics up to max and the gameplay down to minimal, then you just got a pretty picture.
Rise, Son of Rome.
Exactly.
Oh.
But if you did it vice versa, which indie gamers usually do, any developers usually do, then you have a pretty good game. So these games, action, the genre action is one that I've seen get prettier over time, but not necessarily like a better action game. What's the last good action game that you played, Steven?
Wow, you're putting me on the spot here.
The streak is sure over, man. He was on it.
What about what, Gundam?
Tomb Raider? Does that count as an action game?
Yeah, fast pace, kind of just shoot up things, right?
That's one of the best. It's a really good game.
But did it do anything really different, or did it just do things good?
It mostly did things really well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Because, I mean, I only played a small little bit of Tomb Raider, the latest one, and it wasn't really... It was like a demo portion type of thing. It didn't seem like it was doing something. You still thinking over this?
I'm drawing blanks. Like,
what about
I'm
Gauntlet? I haven't really played much Gauntlet.
I wouldn't
the new
call
version.
That really an... I don't know.
What about Dead Rising? Is Dead Rising...
There you go.
Dead Rising 3.
I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Was that really something
it's got a,
crazy?
A lot of action.
Yeah, it's an action game, but would you call that something like crazy different?
It didn't really do anything leaps and bounds innovative that it didn't do before, but I mean, like Dead Rising, the original
the
was...
The graphics.
So take it this way. Okay, unique. So take it this way. You have an action game from 1985. We'll start with that.
Name it.
I know, I'm just giving you
an
hypothetical.
Example.
I want an example.
Okay, so it's called Action Man.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right.
Vector Man. In
Action Man, awesome. Okay. You have a game where it's you and you fight 10...
Wait, we're playing as a guy named Action Man?
Yes, you're playing as a guy named
Action
Man.
Is his name
Action
Jackson?
No.
No? Carl Withers? No?
No. You fight 10
is
it, bad
what is
guys.
His real name, though?
His real name is Act Actionshinton.
Oh, wow.
It's a hard name to say.
I'm getting into this.
I'm actually proud of you that you were able to say that.
So you fight 10 enemies.
Okay.
Action Man 2 comes out 5 years later.
Okay.
You're fighting 20 enemies, but this time you have a sword.
Oh, shit.
Do they pick up weapons off the ground, too?
Nope.
Are you still playing as Act Actionman? Or are you playing... Or are you playing as his son?
You're playing as Action 10 III.
His adopted
you're still playing as the same character.
Does he have gray hair and an eye patch yet?
Not yet. Not in part two.
Is he smoking a cigarette? I've seen some things.
So what are we at? We're at 80... or at 90.
95?
Yeah. So, all right. So now we've jumped forward 5 more years because games are being quicker to come out. So we're at 2000, correct?
Easy. You go Action Man 3D.
Action Man 3D comes out. Boom. You just came out with Action Man 3D for the... 64 or something like
how
that.
How dare you?
And this time, you're moving in, you know, 3D.
Ooh.
You're fighting 40 characters because we can fit 40 guys on the screen now. And this time, you actually can switch weapons.
What's the second weapon?
Right? I'm actually wanting to play this game now.
So he has a sword now and what?
I don't know, an axe.
Oh, shit.
A okay. bat.
I can get.
I would have
that.
Accepted polar.
Wait, is it axe or bat, dude? Because they're different.
It's a Bax. Okay. So it's like an Bax.
Why hasn't anybody come up with that yet?
Bax?
If Bax is not in a game, you just gave away the gold mine.
Yeah, it's like one of those spike bats, but instead it's got a giant blade.
Yeah, that actually really is. I've never seen a bat with blades on the side, with axe blades on the side. Too.
We should make a game. Wow. Golden Bax.
Golden Bax.
That's awesome.
Okay, so basically my whole thing with this is in increments and small, you know, they add little by little. But what we've done with the same thing with genres of action games is we've, I think, reached a point to where it's now you play as the character, he can switch weapons, he kills lots of enemies, and it looks pretty. But that's about it.
So you want to know what the next step is?
What is that next step? Exactly.
He can jump.
Well, I think he's always been able to jump. Since 85, he's been able to jump. But it's just like nobody pushes any more boundaries on the genres that we have now besides little things, you know, like we're going to add. Like, that's why when Borderlands first came out, I was really hyped about it. They were like, it's a first person RPG, you know, and they show the skill trees and stuff like that. And then the iron sight of RPGs and stuff like that. And, you know, headshots, all that was all in there. So it was mixing what made first person shooters good or appealing. And what made RPGs good and appealing, and they jammed them together. And those games appeal to me a lot, but it just doesn't seem like there are enough developers out there ready to take that risk. So, in saying all that, that leads us to our second part of the Weekend Bang, everybody.
The second half of the show, because we kind of dragged time.
We're actually going to create the game Action Man?
With his backs?
We could, in a way.
I'm pretty excited about this bag. I'm not going to lie.
So, I was scouring the internet because it's just been one heck of a day. And I came across a website called Gamasutra.com.
Never heard of it.
Dude, come on. We don't need it.
Nobody's ever heard of Gamasutra?
Never heard of it. I only go to one website, and that's NerdReactor.com.
Does NerdReactor.com, as good as they are, do they give you intel on how to create video games?
Through this podcast.
Yeah, they have this one podcast.
They do now, because we're about to tell you, if you were ever interested in being a video game creator, this is definitely the episode to listen to, because for one, there's no better time. If you haven't listened to our last episode with Van Lee Rapp on it, the little extras, you put that up, correct?
Yeah.
He goes over it. Doesn't he say this is like one of the greatest times to make video games?
Yeah, because it's so easy.
Was that why there was that extra interview part at the end?
Yeah, we just threw in the
ending. I thought you messed up. Like, left it on there on accident.
Did you not hear, like, 2 minutes before it ended, I said, stay tuned after the credits for the extended interview.
I kind of tuned yourself. The shows I'm not on.
Stop listening to you, Aaron.
Wow. Wow.
The shows he's not on, he listens to, hoping he makes a guest appearance on.
Was I in this one? Nope, wasn't.
So, I mean, not just video games, though. Actually, literally 2015, 2014, it's actually been for quite some time. Anything that you want to do. If you want to make comic books, if you want to make movies, if you want to just regularly write novels, like, the technology is at almost everybody's hands. If you don't have it in your home, it's in the library. Actually, I even think you can rent out, if you're going to, like, just a junior college, you can rent out video cameras, remember?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Like, that's friggin' ridiculous. I have no idea what type of video cameras they were running out, because we never used all
handy
that.
Handy cams.
But
it's
that's
all going to vary on what school you're at and everything.
Pretty much, yeah. If you're going to, like, you know.
You're going to go to community college, they're going to give you a $5,000 camera.
That would be guys. Crazy.
This is where all our money went. On this camera. Don't drop it.
But yeah, it's a really good time. And you have a whole bunch of tools out there right now. You have Unity, of course, as we said, that's one of the big ones. XLMA?
XLMA.
You know what I'm talking about. The one for Xbox?
I don't know exactly which one it is, but it's like the Microsoft one.
Yeah, it's
right?
Like Microsoft's one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then actually, I just watched a review on Spark. Have you seen that?
Project Spark?
Yeah, Project Spark.
I've played a little bit of it.
I was supposed to download the demo.
I don't know
beta,
about that one yet.
And didn't finish it.
They showed a whole bunch of people making video games, like action shooters and stuff like that. But it doesn't look like you can be 100% from the ground up. Which I know, understand that, you know, they're trying to make it streamlined for the people to get in there and make quick games and stuff like that. But if I can't make a character from scratch, then I don't feel like I've made a game. But I did see people make like Steve from Minecraft.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So maybe, but Microsoft bought the damn company, so maybe that's just the skin that they have.
Yeah.
So in hindsight, I guess that wasn't that creative, was it?
Nope.
Damn it.
There goes that.
Yep, there goes props for Microsoft.
So, you know, we're just going to wing this episode.
That was all my notes right there. There it is. All right.
So, Giants.
Wow.
Going to World Series.
I was going to say they're in the Super Bowl. But anyway, I know nothing about baseball. Sorry.
But you know something about football, so you should not mix those up.
How many touchdowns?
Do
is there?
I? Anyway, if you're going to be a video game maker or you desire to be a video game maker like many of us do in this world, I, for one, have been
there
dabbling with that.
I think we all have at one point have had that thought. Man, I wish I could just make my own game.
As besides Gondo, has anybody actually done any programming?
Nope.
Steven?
I have a Facebook.
So, no.
Can I say yes now?
Yes, you can.
All right, yeah, I have.
Wow. And I've done minimal as well. I've actually had a full-blown level. Full-blown level.
Yeah, but you couldn't get past the what-ifs.
Nope. Couldn't get at getting, that's it. Whatever.
Wait, so you just like drew the level, but you didn't actually program any of it as well, Shane?
No, I had the level. I was using a small program back in the day. Some people out there may know it, called RPG Maker. And I wrote up a good story with me and some of my friends in high school. And we made the first level. And when it got heavy into programming, we kind of just gave up. And we were like, yeah, that's where our limitations. We have world problems, like homework. And
what did you just build it rooms. Like out of like template stuff? Or were you,
yeah,
did you guys draw your own background?
No, they had templates you can download from the web and everything like that.
There's so much that goes into it. Like I think that's what stops everybody. They think like, oh, I want to make a game. And then you look at all the stuff it entails. Like these dev teams have, for AAA games, hundreds of people to make this stuff happen.
Yes.
You have to break it down and do like one thing at a time.
And if you don't have any prior knowledge, that could be kind of discouraging too when you're just trying to jump into like coding like C++ and Java. Like it just looks so overwhelming that you're like, I don't need to learn all this stuff. I just want to make a video game. It's cool. You know, one of the one things that kept me from really wanting to make video games later on in life too was I like to be surprised by video games. I don't like to know what's going to happen. And when you're behind the curtain, you always know what's going to happen. Gamasutra website actually has a fix for that though too.
What?
This is why
you just surprise yourself at the end.
Literally, when you make your game, I mean, you'll put everything so you'll know what everything's capable of. But then when you actually play your game, you don't know what's going to happen.
Interesting.
Depending on the game you have, yeah, that's definitely possible.
And that's awesome. I think a lot of games lack that. I know what's going to happen in, you know, games like 7 minutes into it. And so it's like, well, not Tetris, but
you can't tell with Tetris.
Exactly.
They should make like a top view Tetris.
You know, I thought that exact same
thing. I know,
thing.
I was listening to the show. I just wanted to
make so bad.
What an idiot. So top view Tetris.
There's a market for this, man.
Somebody thought they had a win. It's like, see? Do you see?
They thought I was crazy. Damn it.
You wouldn't be able to see a damn thing. So bad. So bad. So I hear us winding down, so we'll get into it. I have a daunting question before we get into it when we come back from the
16 house. Inches?
Wow.
That's not the question?
No, that's not the question. That would be freakishly... What in the world? Why would you even want... I'm not even going to go into that. That's disgusting. But yeah, this is definitely
the wrist to the elbow?
That's definitely going to
16
be
inches? Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Whatever. This is definitely going to be one heck of an interesting
pervert
episode.
What are you, a pedophile?
How much time we got left? Good lord, this is like the longest ending song in the world.
I feel like it's so late. We need to have live callers and we need to give them love advice.
All right, so go ahead and call. Aaron's number is.
Yeah.
We might actually have a way to get some people connected.
Ooh.
Stick around for the next half. There's going to be a lot of changes, actually.
We're not even going to talk about games, guys.
Not at all.
Not at all. We're just going to rant.
Making video games and you and your love life. On the next second half of the Weekend Bang. Brought to you by NerdReactor.com.
Hi, this is Amber Goldfarb, the voice of Aveline de Grand Pré, and you're listening to Video Game Bang.
Hello, this is Cass Anvar Al-Tayyir Ibn La'ahad from Assassin's Creed Revelation, and you are listening to the Video Game Bang.
This is Strife, the main guy behind Freedom Planet.
This is Commander Torque.
Hi, this is Lilac the Dragon Girl.
This is Spade.
This is Mayor Zhao.
This is Syntax.
Greetings, this is Lord Brevin, and you're listening to Video Game Bang.
Plus five awesome.
Hey man, I'm Kevin Smith.
Jason Mewes.
And you're listening to the Video Game Bang, which sounds a lot dirtier than it is.
This is Janice Davis, author of Holder's Dominion. And you're listening to Video Game Bang with superstar, incredibly charming hosts.
Hello, Super Aaron. Hello, Princess Cory. It's me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia. You guys, number one. Woohoo!
Talking about, like, he's mad because he can't gain weight.
I have that problem.
And so I looked at him and I said, are you serious? Because this guy is, like, fit. He's like... Mm-hmm. You look at him, you're like, oh, this guy works out or something.
Beef.
And then so I looked at him and I was like, well, you want to trade? Wow. And I was like, you know what? All this, it could be yours anytime. It's like, just take it.
Have some awareness, bro. Don't be that guy who goes to your fat friends and is like, yeah, I can't put on weight. Don't be an asshole.
I was like, I literally have 3 cheeseburgers in my backpack. Yeah. I will give them to you.
Welcome to the weekend bang of high cholesterol and diabetes.
You ain't about that life.
Diabetes.
Jeez. Speaking about that life, I was playing Smite, and somebody, their name was like Dangerous Thug or something like that, right? Or like Gangster Thug.
That is like thug the nasty. Worst thug
it,
name
it was
ever.
Like, it was like Gangster Thug or something like that, right?
My name is Dangerous Thug.
And he was like, hey, can you be a tank? And then he put smiley face. And I was like, that is the most non-thug thing I have ever seen in my life.
That's terrible.
You tank, smiley face? Like, whoa, you are a gangster
you
for
are
me, sir.
Definitely not about that life.
You are a gangster.
Ain't about that lifestyle.
The question I had, if you weren't listening to the first half and you decided to jump right to the second half, which is the good part, is we're talking about making video games. And I was... telling people before that I've, you know, done this off and on for over 20 years, which is crazy. Which is
You're so
crazy.
Old.
I am so,
well,
so
talking
old.
About making video games or?
Doing it a little both. Doing, talking, and doing.
You dip the ladle?
Wow. And one of the things that I was wondering was, what are some of the things that can deter people from actually doing it? Now, we said coding, because that's my biggest pet peeve. Is there anything else that you guys can think of before we jump in and start telling people, hey, this is what you're going to need to do whenever you have or whenever you, you know, make a video game?
Well, see, people out there who are listening to this that are musicians know, like when you're trying to build a band, the hardest thing to find is a singer. And that's because.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You sure?
Yes. That is truth, because the ones out there, yeah, I mean, you can always find a singer. But a lot of times they suck. And what sucks is that they're the most important part of your band.
If they are the front man of your
if
band.
If your singer sucks and you have a brilliant band, I mean, and you go to try and play clubs or something like that, they will pass on you.
I would People, think that's the easiest.
No, it is not the easiest
to
whatsoever.
Me I think the beats of the drums.
No.
To me, is
drummers
like the most important,
are a dime a dozen,
that's,
though.
That's what hooks me into the song, though.
No, that's the thing is drummers are a dime a dozen, and you could have a... 8 different drummers. No, it doesn't matter.
Sounds like the ultimate band.
Eight different drummers?
I mean...
Or the worst band.
Drummers have different styles, of course, but they're not going to be make or break. Like, your singer is what people see when they first come in. They're the most valuable, and they're the hardest to get, and it's just like your programmer, because if they suck, your band sucks. So if you don't have a good programmer, you don't have a good game.
Mm. Yeah, programmers are, like, the backbone.
To add on to that, little thing, like all the good singers are usually already in a band. So
really,
all the yeah,
yeah,
there's
they
no
usually,
solo acts.
They usually do multiple projects. Actually, it's like they're wow. so desirable that they're in like 3 bands.
Why don't you just steal them away
because they're getting paid them. Where they're at. Like so, with programmers, these guys that are good and coming straight out of school and got all this experience, they're gonna get jobs right away because it's a very high in demand thing to do.
That's another thing I just thought about. It's a very high-in-demand thing to do, and that could be a deterrent for people because you're like, oh, so many people are doing it already. How are any of my ideas going to be?
No,
so
more.
Many people
need
do it, but how many people actually stick with it the whole
yeah,
way?
And that's what we're talking about. For those that don't know, we actually do the show live every weekend. and we have a live audience. Mr. Jerry Panericon is listening in right now, and he will be in our invisible man in Skype. Sometimes I'll throw it to him, and he'll say nothing, and I'll just talk for him.
Okay.
Sounds like a normal Skype call with him, actually.
Let's not confuse anybody.
It's kind
of
weird.
I just didn't want people to be like, well, who the hell is Jerry, and why isn't he saying anything?
We reference Jerry like every episode, at least once.
Yeah, he's been on the show.
Hey, he's been guys. On the show, yeah.
Sloth-like movements and...
Creepy Jerry. We always reference him.
Hey, guys.
Exactamundo. Hey, Jerry just said, where do you get off?
On your mom.
Oh! Whoa!
I do not endorse this. This is too much.
That's where you draw the lines?
That's where I draw the lines.
He was just talking about vibrators. Yeah.
Before the show, he landed a major vibrator burn on Aaron.
There is no evidence of this.
Yeah.
There wasn't.
Damn it. That's why I need to record everything.
Oh, wow. That's horrible. So, are we prepared to go into what you need to do to make a video game?
I think so.
Can I go first?
Okay. Buy a computer.
I don't think there was an order, but... Okay.
I was just going to say, like, the most daunting part to me.
Okay, what is it? What do you believe?
For me, it's art. Like, I can't draw or, like, design things that look good. So I can do all the skeleton work and, like, make things move properly, but I can't make them look good as they move.
Hmm. I recently just drew some pictures at a work meeting, only because I was bored there. And if people don't know, I used to want to be an animator. I used to be one of a lot of things. Good Lord.
You're so old.
But for a time I was taking animation classes, I was doing all that type of stuff, and I, you know, so I have a little bit of skill in drawing, you know, I'm not unfamiliar with that territory.
Yes.
And I remember my coworker was like, I wish I could draw. I'm like, everybody literally can draw. Like, it is everybody wants to draw like amazing
things. Everybody can draw
things.
Yes, but they can't draw well.
Yeah, everybody wants to draw like amazing things, but there are, you can literally, everybody can draw. It's just what you imagine in your head.
I got shaky hands.
And then what you translate on the paper may not be the same thing. You may be like, oh, Van Gogh up here. And
Pablo Picasso down there.
Exactly.
The one thing about artwork in games, too, is I know a guy who does art in video games. And what he told me is that that's like the most abundant skill out there. Like, those are the base players of the video game world. Like, everybody can do
bass
it.
Players.
I don't get that reference. Are they important?
Playing bass is very easy.
Oh, wow.
Slapping the bass.
Well, see, you're talking about a guy that draws, though.
Yeah, but so, here's the thing, too. Like, okay. As far as the grand scale of making a game, one of the reasons that drawing or art should never be an excuse is that there is a huge wealth of resources to purchase, sometimes free, stock 3D caricatures, full-blown, you can do that stuff. And even as just place fillers to create your project, get buzz around it, and then go recruit an artist to go back and then make you your own things. So, like, if you've got a game where you're going to want to put, like, I don't know, elves in it or something like that, you go get some little elf stock things, make your game. If it garners enough attention that you can take it to a real artist, you know, then they'll say, hey, can you do a more detailed version of this or make something better?
Artwork, getting everybody to agree on artwork, I would think, once you get to, you know, artists and everything like that. I think as a storyteller and writer, having the artists get my vision is one thing. That I think, but I guess that's just how good the talent of the story writer is, if he's very descriptive and stuff like that. Let me see here. So one of the first things that... I found on this tutorial, and if you want to be a video game maker, is one of the first things you should do is decide what type of game you want to make. Of course, we all know that there are a whole bunch of different type of genres out there. I don't know if you have one in mind, or if you would just, you know, jump right in and be like, you know what, I'm going to make a RTS. So the first thing you want to do is come up, have an idea, basically. What type of game would you want to make? Let's go around the board. What type of games would we want to make here? Corey.
I think I'd like to make a beat-em-up.
Beat-em-up or beat-em-off?
Yeah. I want to make a good old-fashioned beat-em-off.
Why that one? What's appealing to that?
I think it's something universal that everyone can identify with who's been gaming for an extended period of time. Like, we all played Battletoads or Streets of Rage or Golden Axe, like we brought up. Mm.
Golden Axe 3, yeah.
And I think that's a genre that has been neglected. I mean, when a really good one happens, people take notice, like Castle Crashers was pretty awesome. But I think even Castle Crashers didn't really push the envelope, as you were talking about earlier.
It kind of just rejuvenated the old feeling of those games that we had back in the day. And just, you know, hey, we still are around.
Beat 'em ups were awesome. And then they kind of got lost, I think, in that next step. Like, people just weren't doing them right. Because like,
it's like, where do you go?
Well, like, Fighting Force was the perfect natural progression of a classic beat 'em up. You know, they added the, you know, full range of motion. Mm-hmm. It still had the thing where you beat up a guy and you could pick up his gun and use it for a few times and destructible environments and stuff like that. Like, I love that game. But then even the second one of that just kind of fell off.
Yeah, they made it single player.
Yeah.
Took a step backwards.
Took a huge step backwards, but the four players, I mean, the story. But even on that one, there's things that didn't progress, like the storyline.
And I think they kind of just came at a dead end there and were just like, well, there's nothing else we can do. Because there's other games that do the full range like that. You have your Dynasty Warriors. That's a beat 'em up, but Dynasty Warriors is literally the same game one after another each year. And it's been going on for like 12 iterations.
Yeah.
But I think people are happy with that one, you know, because it's just, I don't know, there's a lot of people in China, I guess. That's what I'm guessing right now. Steven, genre of game you would want to make?
Go. Oh, damn.
On Spotify.
There's no fucking excuse because you knew that question.
I literally had it in my mind, and then you asked me the question, and then I farted in my brain.
Let's stink in there.
You don't even want to know. you know what? Damn, beat 'em up was a good one. That's why.
And he's thinking in his head right now, like a top-down Tetris.
I would probably want something story-driven. So I'd probably say like action adventure.
Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, that's probably where I would go.
Want story or something?
Yeah, just because something with a really good story. And I think you can probably cram a lot of ideas into action adventure, because a lot of them are, you know, huge environments, huge things. And me personally, I have a problem with trying, like, denying some of my ideas. Like, I'll come up with a bunch of ideas, and like, I want to use every single one of them. But I know like some of them kind of defeat the purpose of others. And it's like, I have a problem, you know, saying no to a lot of the ideas. I want to use everything.
Gondo, already know what game you want to make.
You do.
Tetris Top Down.
Math puzzler, math. Right?
So I want to bring math back to the forefront of video games.
I actually do want to make a puzzler. I'm thinking more like a physics-based puzzler, though, like a Portal kind of thing.
Portal is amazing.
Is it just because you like Portal, or?
I like the games where you have to think about like how I'm going to tackle and like get through this maze of things.
Oh, some with more of a brain strategy as opposed to just smashing through everything.
Like, I always enjoy when they throw in like a random little puzzle in my game. Like when I played Prince of Persia, the Sands of Time one, like there was a bunch of times where like you had to do like little puzzles, like you had to move this stick through a maze, but you couldn't like see the whole maze. Stuff like that.
Those ones can be kind of frustrating at some points.
Yeah, but maybe that's to what you. Makes them so good.
Yes. Oh, like I'm those. Sorry. To us muggles, us dum-dums.
Hey, you shouldn't use any words like that, right, man?
Jerry actually chimes in and says he would make an RPG game with many options and paths to choose from.
Of course, you're Asian.
So that's just an RPG game.
He says,
this is why we don't open it up to the listeners usually.
Because we make fun of them.
He also says, many hours of gameplay.
Open world?
That is, he didn't describe anymore. He does not say open world or anything like that. He just that was just his thing. I'm on the same thing where it's beat 'em ups only because of my childhood. I'm used to beating ups or beat 'em ups. a little bit of both.
Beat 'em ups.
And I don't think it's really been done well, you know, or done better, I should say, than what they've already done already. I like the idea of mixing genres, like I said before. I played in high school an RTS first-person shooter, which was, I don't even know the name of it, and it's...
Was it Natural Selection?
Nah, I have no idea. I just said I don't know the name of it. But
Command and Conquer Commando.
I have no idea. But anyway, it was a it was a pretty dope game, and I played it in like a math class or something like that. Mr. Lopez at Grant High School.
He's an English teacher.
Oh, he was an English teacher. I was playing games. I was playing games the whole time. Clearly,
that's terrible. So was I, Mario Kart.
But it was cool because it's like you can control all your units and tell them to go in one direction, and then you can go into one of the units that you were just a
like
peon.
Battalion Wars.
Just like a peon. Yeah, it was like Battalion Wars.
Oh my god, that game was so good.
Was it a Warhammer game?
I don't know, dude.
I feel like that sounds like a Warhammer game to me.
But it was really good. Oh, Jerry also says open world and guns. That's what he just said.
And guns. And twins.
Yeah, but before you do anything, you definitely have to decide what type of game you want to make. Next thing on the list that you should think about is, do you want a 2D or 3D?
3D.
Ooh, 3D.
Wait, see, everybody's going 3D all of a sudden. Let's go Corey first. 3D, why?
Actually, what are we talking about here?
Your video game. You
for
said
your beat-em-up.
You so said beat-em-up, yeah, because we're starting with what you,
for
you got.
For my beat-em-off.
For your beat-em-off, 3D, you've already said.
Now, when we say 3D, do we just mean the models, or are we talking about full range of motion up, down, left,
well, this
right?
Is your game, right?
Okay,
this
yeah.
This is what we're going with right
well,
now.
Well, see, I always wanted to do, I want to do, like, old school, like, what is that called, that camera view on the beat-em-ups?
That's like three,
yeah,
that side,
like a three-force thing.
Give an example, like Streets of Rage.
Yeah, like Streets of Rage, okay, where you can walk up and down. I've always liked that, like to keep it on going that way.
It's cubed.
But with like updated graphics, like with some 3D models up in there and some.
So
kind
of like a what's that? Double Dragon's
Neon.
Neon?
Yeah, that's like that's that. Probably the best example of that that type.
Yeah, okay, like that, but a little more gritty and like a little more detail.
What are you looking for? Blood and
I'm looking for blood
and
gore
and sweat when you punch somebody.
Yeah.
Why would you want sweat when you?
I don't know. That's
sweat.
That's his.
See it fly off.
That's his fantasy.
That's like the big boxing thing.
You went said yeah. Got turned on. Yeah.
Yeah. Sweat.
I like his fantasies. What can I say?
Your action and adventure, 2D or 3D?
I already said 3D.
Okay.
It would be, I think, I could, me personally, I couldn't think of a way to do a good 2D one.
Can you think of examples of 2D games that are actually
the only one that pops in my head is that Legend of Zelda 2 from back in the day as 2D adventure.
Now, okay, okay.
You know what I'm talking about? The side-scrolling?
Yeah, side-scrolling. Yeah, that was terrible.
I can think of. And that's why I wouldn't want to do it.
That game was horrendous.
And I think 3D with the action-adventure would probably just fit a lot better now.
Think about Metroid. The Metroid titles were pretty good.
You know what? That is a good example.
Action-adventure type of games.
That is a good example.
Backtrack, side-scrolling. That one actually.
I'd probably still stick with 3D.
But
no, I'm just saying that's a good example.
I'm trying to tell you how to live your game.
Yeah, you know.
Because I keep thinking, like straight up Uncharted, the whole style of my game. Like,
so that's what you're pulling from. You're pulling from Uncharted.
From that.
I want a character named Nathan.
Nathan Snake. I was gonna go Drake.
Snake. Metal Gear Uncharted. Gondo, your physics based puzzle.
In an ideal world, yeah. I'd get a 3D one, just because it gives you so many more options.
3D puzzles,
yeah, because you have to have an actual maze to run through.
That is yes. 3D with your game
now
specifically
you have
is definitely. I it's hard for me to think of a 2D based
right
physics. But I mean, I know it's been done most
you
likely.
You keep saying
out there.
2D, and I'm thinking. Cosby Show for some reason.
Like 2D?
2D? I thought that was Facts of Life.
That
or
is
Facts
of
Life,
yes.
Excuse me. They're black.
I'm going with 2D, though, actually.
For your beat-em-up?
For your beat-em-up.
Yeah, for beat-em-up.
Because
yeah, not the straight 2D, though. Not like the depth.
Not the one lane.
You're going like the
not Mario. Yeah, I definitely I love the that side. But I'm still, this is why I'm going also 2D models, though. Sprites, as opposed to polygons or whatever the other name for it is, because I really like, and this is where an animator and an artist would be 100% necessary. I like how Marvel versus Capcom series, how that animation flows in a fighter and how the combos look all, you know, smooth and nice and everything like that. And I can't think of And it just didn't look the same to me when they transitioned from 2D to 3D models. You see what I mean?
You're talking about in that series specifically?
In that series specifically, I can't think of any. And
what about Street Fighter? You feel the same way about Street Fighter? Because I personally don't like
I like the 2D better than the 3D.
Yeah, that's how I feel with Street Fighter.
And I can't think of one genre that's gone.
Ryu's chin should not look like that.
Wow. I can't think of one, not genre, but one game that's gone from 2D animated sprites that were done well to 3D, and they've stayed, you know, I don't know. I always associate the 3D with slower pace, and with beat-em-ups, you got to have a quicker, you know,
I think we looked at it the other day. We were wondering why Turtles in Time went from being like one of the best side-scrolling 2D beat-em-ups to like one of the worst remakes.
Yeah, because Steven, we downloaded that, correct?
Yeah.
We downloaded the original, the arcade one, and then we downloaded the newer one. Remember the 3D one?
Yeah.
And see, the only problem with the newer one reason why we didn't stay on that one or whatever, we didn't like it, but I couldn't figure out why we didn't really latch on to this one. It had the same kind of mechanics where you're just hacking and slashing and everything.
I mean,
like,
and it had the exact same like little cutscene transition, the same bad guy, same everything. But
so
there was
something that was
off.
Yes, and so I figured it out, which was in the 3D version of the Turtles in Time or whatever it was. Yeah,
reshelled.
You actually, reshelled. You attack in 8 different directions. In the original one, you only attack in like 2 different directions.
Yeah. Forward and backwards.
Yeah, forward and backwards. You can't like look straight up and attack. So it kind of takes the hit detection off a little, because if he's in one direction, you know, direction A, you're on direction C, you're just missing. I don't even know how you would mark how round.
Doesn't that go against your skill-based combat system, though?
It goes against my skill-based preference, yes, a little bit. But when we're talking about just an old-fashioned genre that I love, if it didn't work, then it just doesn't work.
You know what I think the difference was, and this was just watching it side by side, is that the pacing difference, I think, killed that game. I think if they would have slowed down the combat, because the remake, Reshelled or whatever, was just too hectic for what it was. Like, the characters took up more space on the screen.
Yeah, they were bulkier,
because of the way they did it. And when it just seemed like it was just a complete... Like, I'm a fan of hack and slash and all, but it just seemed like a complete button mash.
It is, yeah.
I remember there was, like, a little bit of skill to the old one of, you know, doing the throws and all that kind of stuff. Like, there was more... You can navigate that space better and slower to put yourself in a more strategic spot. And in this one, it just seems like they were just hacking all over this little map.
Now, I'm not saying that it can't be done, because there are good examples. The Double Dragon's Neon was the one that actually won me back over with 3D models in that type of setting. But so far, I've just seen that bad example that just kind of turned me off. It's kind of just like, I don't know, like if you had a certain alcohol that you didn't like and you take it one, like, oh, that's gross, I don't like that. It's not going to kill you off of all alcohol, but you're not going to drink that one.
It's your preference.
Yeah, exactly. Jerry Panericon also chimes in. Here he says, 3D. I know, these are always gems. 3D, because that's where all modern games are. And that's where our modern games are at the moment. And they look nice. In-depth conversations
right,
with Jerry Panericon.
This is the end. This is the last time we take.
And there's plenty of programs out there if you want to go 3D. Like I said before, Unity is probably going to be the best one if they do not sell out, which I hope they don't.
Yeah, they said they won't.
Yeah, they said they won't.
And that they never go back on their word.
There are a ton of tutorials out there on Unity as well. Like, if you want to make any type of game, you just literally type in that type of game and then Unity behind it in a Google search, and boom, you got some type of tutorial from, like, other people that have already tried it or other techniques that you want to do and stuff like that. Like, there's tons of stuff. There's no reason for you not to, you know...
Pursue your dreams, man.
Exactly. If you want to do 2D games, there's stuff out there like Game Salad. I didn't really look too much into Game Salad.
It's delicious.
But clearly it must be delicious. Game Maker. I did do Game Maker. I downloaded that one for a 2D game. Really simplistic. They have great tutorials out there for that one. That one is free as well, kind of like Unity. If you want to, I think, like, start publishing your game is when you start, you know, starting to have to cough up the money and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If it's like Unity, then you have to, when you start making money is when they take money off of you.
Yeah, freaking vultures. That's what it is. They're vultures. Back in my day, RPG Maker used to be 100% free.
That's called communism, Unity.
Yeah.
That's what I call it.
And then, actually, I've checked up on RPG Maker now, and yeah, it's quite expensive.
Oh, really?
It is quite expensive. And then they charge you for the different like textures and stuff you want to use. Back then, you can literally download like an unlimited amount of them from anywhere, and you can use them in your game. So if you wanted your game to look 100% like Final Fantasy, you know, 3 or something like that, back in the old Nintendo days or Super Nintendo days or whatever it was, you can make your game look like that. And then you can literally probably copy for copy the whole game. And if you were like, oh, I just wanted it to end like this, then you can do that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was that crazy. But now you really have to... It's ridiculous. All right, so what have we done? We've came up with our ideas. We come up with what type we're going to do, 3D or 2D.
Make a rough prototype.
Make a rough prototype. Here's where it gets a little more difficult.
Yes.
Because this is where you're actually getting your hands dirty and you're getting inside the...
unmentionables.
I think this is where most people... I want to say of game makers that have like zero experience, don't go to school or whatever... Like, just trying to, a group of people trying to make a game, this has to be where 98% fall off.
And I would probably 98% agree with you on that. Because it's the most, it's like I tell people if anybody ever asks me, and I know people have before, about writing, I say the hardest part about writing is sitting down and writing. Because you could just be like, oh, I got all these ideas. I want to make this story.
Yeah, you can be taking a dump and be like, oh, man, I want to have a character named this, and he's going to fight that. But until you actually write it all down and write it all out, and then... But then again, like, you could even do that. Write it down on a piece of paper. But this is like going to publishing stage. Like, this is like making the book.
Here's what they had to say on this one. It says, before you make all the artwork for your game... you need to know it's if it's actually going to work. Remember, even Mario Kart 64 started off as a prototype. So don't psych yourself out, because I can hear the music already. That's why I'm trying to wrap this up. But don't psych yourself out before you get there. It's going to be very, very tough to actually go through the whole motions. And don't think that you're going to make it overnight.
Yeah.
Especially if you have no experience whatsoever. You still have a lot of stuff to think about. The graphics... the sound, that's very important, of course. Music, I didn't even think when I read this and I saw that they had a section on music, I was like, I put no thought into music for any video games.
Music helps propel the story and things
forward. We've talked to composers and stuff, and we've all taken notice of it in those conversations that bad music can screw up a lot of immersion aspects.
Like with a horror game. Don't have creepy.
And then you got.
That might be creepy as hell, depending on the setting.
Oh,
if you're in a clown, freaking.
Oh, I was playing the wrong song out loud. I was thinking of the Benny Hill.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been creepy in that situation. Ask your friends to play your game once you have up and working. You know what? Before you even do that. Ask your friends. Oh. Get friends. And then actually get people to help you. You know, because there are probably hundreds of other people, if not thousands, on the internet that are out there in the same position that you are.
And I think when you bring other people into it, it brings like a support system. Because any but one person can say they want to, you know, move a mountain. But then when you get to it and start shoveling a little bit, you get tired real fast.
Unless your name is Notch. Then you're just... a billionaire.
But bring some buddies with you, and you know, then you have an accountability system.
Yeah. Once you get a little rough thing about your game, have them play it over and over. Watch them as they play it. You know, get over their shoulder, see what they like, what they don't like.
It's like that scene from Wedding Singer, the old lady with the meatballs. Eat them. I want to watch you enjoy it.
That's gross. like I said before, don't expect to make millions overnight. This is a game process. This is for a labor of love, basically. That's what you should be doing. It as. Your first game is just around the corner, everybody. It's not going to be...
you can do it.
Yeah. So what do you think about making the games, everybody?
I want to do it.
You want to do one?
Hell yeah.
I'm excited.
You're excited?
Yeah.
I hope you're excited too, Steven.
In my pants, yes.
That's gross.
In my mind, also yes.
For Steven, Corey, and Gondo, I am Sir Aaron Carter. That was the Weekend Bang. I hope we have motivated you to make a video game, because I think we are now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm slightly aroused.
Let me bang,
I
man.
Do let you bang. Hey.
Let me bang again, man.
I let you bang. I let you bang.
Let me bang.
Let me bang. Let you bang. Now go fuck yourselves.
Nikki, what did you?